Humanly speaking, World Youth Day is insane. Nothing ever goes as planned, and you don't know what to expect. But one thing's certain, God is there. God is working in the lives of the young people, and God is working in circumstances in which you least expect. So join me as we go through just one day of the real World Youth Day. Now, the night before, my roommate, he was assigned by Goodness Reigns to be my assistant in getting footage. Well, he'd gotten an email saying that his press pass was ready and that he could go and pick it up that Tuesday morning. Now, I had applied for a press pass separately because, you know, obviously it would be a lot simpler to do my job and to fulfill those goals of talking to bishops, of getting footage of people living their faith, and of getting footage for the Goodness Reigns film that I was planning on making. If I had a press pass, or if I had certain privileges, or I could show some type of credibility or credentials. And so I filed for a press pass separately, and I did it on my own through my website, which is truefaith.tv. I don't know why I did that. It doesn't really make any sense. It's just a website that I made myself. And so I wasn't entirely surprised that I wasn't approved to get a press pass. Well, regardless of the fact, the night before, my roommate said that he had been approved. He's like, whoa, you're going to go pick up yours? And I was kind of like, well, I don't think so, you know. I don't really have one. So I discerned what I would do that morning, and I decided that I would go to a vocations fair, but first I would go to the press office, which I looked up on a map, which is about 35 minutes away. I just went straight down this one road. And so I did that. I arrived at the press office about 10 a.m., and I waited in line for about an hour and a half. And really, it was a huge disappointment. I got in line. They're like, who are you? Gabriel Castillo from True Faith. TV, and they said, oh, I don't have any record of you being approved for a press pass. And I said, well, is there anything I can do to get, you know, get this thing moving forward? Because it would be really nice. And they said, well, there has to be a police report. There has to be checking you out online and all this. And they said, you can try and come back at noon. And I kind of just went away with my tail between my legs and said, oh, well, I guess it's God's will that I do things, you know, the old-fashioned way. You know, getting in there and causing a story or something. And so I went to try to find a vocations fair. I did not find it, although I think I was in the general vicinity. I was walking around. There were a lot of people. I still didn't see any religious, because, you know, whenever there's religious present, the Holy Spirit's bound to be present, because they're always so cheerful and living their charisms. So I was kind of feeling really bummed. I ran into a church, and I thought, okay, well, I can go to Mass, I can pray, and then I can ask the Lord if He'll give me some type of direction of what He'd like me to do next. So I went to Mass, still a little bit disappointed. There was so few people in the church. And, you know, there's supposed to be a million people here, or 1.5 million that were reported, and I believe it was closer to 2 million, that were supposed to be there, all right, to get closer to Jesus, all right, and here we are at a church in this crowded area, all of these young people around, and there's not that many people at Mass. So, you know, I'm still kind of like, okay, Lord, after communion, I'm there praying, making my thanksgiving, asking God for some direction. What do I do? This trip's not going very well so far. And I felt in my heart, it was kind of like He was asking me, well, what did you come here to do? And I thought to myself, well, I came here to get footage of people living their faith. And so He said, okay, well, go and look for footage of people living their faith. And it wasn't very successful because people are just walking around. And eventually I ran into a church that I wasn't exactly sure the name of the church. It was big and it was beautiful. And it was very close to where Pope Benedict XVI would be arriving the next day. And I went inside and there were a lot of pilgrims in there. They weren't exactly praying, as you'll be able to see from some of the footage. They're just kind of walking around. And so I kind of kneeled there in front of the altar. And there's this huge, beautiful painting. And I'm not quite sure what the painting is of, and I really am trying to be really recollected, and I'm there praying, and it's more like of a begging, like, God, what do I do? This is not going well. I'd been very passive the entire trip so far. I'd just been kind of going with the flow, expecting things to fall into my lap, and it wasn't working for me, and I was getting very discouraged, and so I was just kind of like waiting, like, okay, God, I don't know what to do. I'm just going to sit here. And then in the silence, it's like I felt this force come over me, and I heard this voice, like the voice of Aslan from the movie The Chronicles of Narnia. Now, when I heard this voice, it said, you know, it was kind of like an instantaneous, a moment of clarity that helped me to understand that if I keep doing things the same way, I'm going to keep getting the same results. That I need to be bold. And I distinctly heard, you need to be a lion. You need to be bold. You need to go about Spain starting spiritual fires. You need to be going out there and pushing buttons and really pushing the hand of my providence. Not in a way that's like, you know, testing God, but really, if I had faith and I really believed that God was calling me to do something, what would I do differently if I really believed that God was going to be there for me and that He was going to come through? And so really, when I hear this voice, and it's the voice of Aslan from the movie, and I'd just seen the movie on the way to Madrid, so I was kind of doubting, even though there was that clarity and the understanding, it was like the voice of Aslan is telling me to be a lion, and I just started to doubt a little bit, but then the very moment, it was like the second that the doubt entered into my conscience, to my spirit, I saw this picture. So I'm looking there at the altar, and it's a beautiful picture, although I still don't know what it is to this very day. And all of a sudden, beneath the altar, what do I see in this image? A lion's head. And that really freaked me out. I was like, wow, this is God. This is God. He's really speaking to me like a lion. And so, wow, I was so full of the Holy Spirit. And I was kind of in shock, but at the same time, really charged up. And I said, all right, lion, what do you want from me? What do you want me to do? And at this point, it's about 2 p.m. He said, go to the press office. It's like, are you serious? The press office? They told me to go back there at noon. It's 2 p.m. I just went over there and I was totally rejected and I wasted my morning. And not only that, but at 5 p.m., I had to meet the rest of the group from Goodness Reigns to go to the opening mass for World Youth Day. And so I looked at the lion and I said, all right, what are the odds that God is speaking to me in, you know, the silence of my soul, this interior voice, in the voice of a lion? And He's telling me to be a lion, and that He wants me to be bold, and wants me to be courageous, and He wants me to be daring, and He wants me to trust. And then I see a lion's head hidden in this image. And it was kind of like I knew. God was saying, the artist who drew it might not have known why He put that lion in that image there, but He put it there for you, whether He knew it or not. And this is me. I'm calling you. Be bold. Go back to the press office. So I said, all right, I'll go back to the press office. The whole way over there, I was praying the rosary, like, Lord, for me, this was a very big thing, because providential things always happen, but never where I hear or I feel like God is speaking to me and then like there's some type of confirmation right away. And had I not received that external confirmation and that clarity within my soul, I probably and rightfully should have ignored it, because it is irrational to go back to the press office after I was basically rejected. And so I went back to the press office and I see the long line outside the door. It's a line that was double of what I'd gone earlier, and it was out the door and around the corner. And so I got in line, and I was looking at my watch, and I was like, there's no way in the world. It is 2:30. Not going to happen, right? And so at 2:30, I look at my watch, and I say, Lord, this is not happening. And then in my soul, I felt this fire. It was like, would a lion be waiting here in line? Well, a lion would not be sitting patiently waiting for his meal. He'd go out there and he'd catch his meal. He'd go out there and he'd attack. He'd be bold. He'd go forward. He'd be direct. He wouldn't be sitting there twiddling his thumbs knowing that he's not going to get anywhere. No, he'd make something happen. So I said, okay, what do you want me to do? And he said, go. That's all. And I knew what it meant. It meant go to the front of the line. Get in there somehow. Cut these people. I guess you could be calling it cut these people. But I really didn't know. Maybe the line changed. Maybe the line was for a different purpose. So I went up to the front, and there's an entrance, and then the exit is right next to it. So I went to the exit, and I saw a girl standing there, and I asked her in Spanish, is this the line for the press pass? And she said, and why is she standing there? I don't know why she's standing there. She says, I don't know. I don't work here, even though she's wearing a shirt like a worker. I don't know. I don't work here. Go talk to him. He's working. And so she pointed inside the building, inside the doors. So everybody, of course, they didn't think I was cutting. And of course, I didn't think I was cutting either, because this lady's telling me to go talk to somebody inside the doors. And then so I walk into inside the doors. The guy thinks that I had been waiting in line this whole time and now it's my turn. But I think that that's what he thinks. I don't know. I'm not positive. But I ask him, is this the line for the press pass? And he says, oh, are you from America? And I said, yes. He says, you need to go to that line. And he pointed inside. So basically, yes, I did somehow get by all these people in line. I don't know if it was cutting. I just did what the man told me to do. All right, okay. So now I'm in this new line, and the line is there, and it's going nowhere. And it is now 3 o'clock, and this line is only of 8 people. And this line is not moved. And I am beginning to wonder if I am just standing here for no reason. But this is, they say, this is international. If you're from international, you get in this line and you'll get your press pass. And so I'm waiting there. And now it's about 3:30. And people keep trying to cut this line. And I'm thinking, well, I really can't get mad at them for trying, because I myself tried to get in front of people, although I'm not calling it cutting in this circumstance, because God was just, I went to go ask the girl a question and she pointed for me to go inside. You get the point. So anyways, then, you know, it's kind of irritating, because it's like, people, just do what the officer says. The officer in front of me is getting irritated, and the girl in front of me is getting irritated. And so then I start talking with this girl, and she's there from England, and her homie, her friend, Kevin, is right behind me in line. And he's also from the Diocese of Westminster, and they're there together from their diocese. And then the priest behind them, his name is Father Mark. He's from Canada, it turns out. And so I start talking to these people. What are you doing here? What kind of media are you involved with? And man, before, although I was timid and insecure and unsure of what was going on, it was God's will that I was in line behind these people. Because talking to these people, man, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, or they were guided by the hand of God when they were there, and they were there right for me, because they were really firing me up. And I was just preaching, and I was saying that Jesus is in the Eucharist and the confession. Oh, and the media, then the church doesn't talk about confession. And why are there so many people who make sacrilegious confession? Oh, and this and oh, and that. And I was just on fire. Ooh, man, I was just blowing it up. And they were blowing it up too. The guy Kevin, he was telling me some story that he had just experienced with the power of the Holy Spirit, that he was in prayer and that God was saying to him in his heart, the power of the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. Go, you need to be a missionary. And so he was praying and praying, and he said, okay, Lord, I need a confirmation, so I know I'm not just making this up. And then he was getting out of a metro, a subway, and somebody stopped him, and they said, hey, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. You need to go and be a missionary. And so, wow, I was like blown away. And then I was like, man, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. God is calling you to be a missionary. And man, you're setting me on fire. Wow. I was just like, wow. Right? And then it turns out that the priest behind me, he was like hearing, and he was like, wow, these people are Holy Spirit filled. Wow. Right? And then he's like, where did you go to school, young man? And I said, University of St. Thomas. And he said, wow, did you know my friend? His name's Father Daniel Callum. And I said, Father Daniel Callum? I love that Father Daniel Callum. Father Daniel Callum made sure that we had confession every single day. Father Callum made sure that we had mass available 3 times a day. Man, that guy didn't care what anybody said to him. He would say the most absurd things sometimes, and if people got offended, he didn't really care. And I was like, wow, that priest, such a good holy priest. And he's like, man, tell me about it. We just kept going back and forth. And he's like, what are the odds that I would be in a line with a priest who knew the same priest that I did, and equally was changed and believed that this one priest was really a saint, even though he was kind of like one of these hidden saints that people kind of overlook, or they don't get their character correct. So anyways, we're just going back and forth in this line, and I really made 3 good friends that afternoon. Now, remember, I was concerned about the time, because I had to get back to meet my group. Well, now it's already about 4:45, and I'm the next person in line. I don't even notice that the whole line has changed, but I'm there now. I'm getting my press pass. What the heck? They gave me a press pass. Why did they give me a press pass? I just have a website and a YouTube channel. I'm not the press, but regardless, I took it. I went as fast as I could back to the hotel. I get there. It's about 5:15. Nobody's there. There's another group there with our guide, the Goodness Reigns guide. Wow, God, thank you. I'm not going to go by myself. And so I was worried that I was going to miss this opening mass, right? And so I decide, okay, I'll go with this group, because my group is not around, so I'll go with this group. And to say the least, I was heartily disappointed. On TV, they make it seem like, oh, you're going to see the Pope. Oh, you're going to be so up close. Oh, you're going to be this. And I had never been before. Nobody really just talked to me about the reality of World Youth Day and how it's really a struggle and it's really a pilgrimage and it's really, you know, a fight to get into the events. And so I was disappointed, because we were about 2 miles away behind us, like a wall, looking at the corner of a screen, which you really can't see anything, listening to the Mass, or listening to these activities, and then eventually the Mass in Spanish. So I was thinking to myself, I could be in my room watching this with air conditioning, and not with a million people behind some dark alley, right? Although it wasn't really dark because it's daylight. And the priests there, they too were kind of like, I thought I was going to come celebrate. I came over here from all the way across the world, and I want to celebrate with my brother priests from all the different nations this opening Mass. And so they were disappointed. Our guide really didn't know how to get them there, get them closer. And so the I don't know what to do. But all of a sudden, again, it's like a rah. It's like the doubt that I had inside of me earlier, and any time this little doubt would arise, like inside of me, this fear, it'd kind of be like a rah. And this growl or roar that would just wipe all this darkness away. So I looked at the priest and I said, "You guys want to come celebrate?" They said, "Yeah, yeah." I said, "Let's go. I'll take you to come celebrate." It's like, "Where are you going?" I said, "I don't know. Just come on, man. I'm sneaky. I'll get us in there." And they said, "Okay." I said, "Besides, I got a press pass. Maybe I can use it to my advantage, right?" And so it's like, "All right," because they, you know, it's better than being 3 miles away. So there we are. We thought it was going to be difficult getting through these crowds, but we were going so sleek. We're like a snake in the grass, just kind of, right? And then I'm thinking, wow, this is so easy. This is so great. We're just smoothing right in. And then when we get within 2 blocks of where the mass is going to be held, things come to a screeching halt. I had never seen so many people squished into one little space in my entire life. It was like worse than a can of sardines. Worse than a can of sardines. Because we smelled worse than sardines. And we were like this. And so we're squeezing through the people, trying to get in, and the priests are going through, and then finally we get to a point where we're within 1 block, and it's impossible to get through. It is too hot, there are too many bodies, and we no longer have freedom over our body. We are now moving with the crowd. Where the crowd goes, that's where we end up going. And so I tell the priest, I was like, "We got to get out of here, we're going to die." And people start fainting all around me, and I was like gasping for air and sweating from head to toe. And I said, "We got to get out of here. We're not going to make it." But these priests were determined. They said, "I've got to celebrate the Mass." And then if they didn't go now, they said, "Oh, if we don't make it here, we're never going to make it because it's already 6:50. And the Mass started at 8, and you have to go through security and all these things." And he said, you go, and we'll just keep trying. And I said, "All right." So I went out of this massive, deadly, riotous crowd. They weren't rioting, but it was just like, if anybody got angry and started fighting, oh, we would all been dead. So I got out of the crowd. I ran around the block. I ran into a volunteer employee wearing the green volunteer shirts. And I said, "¿Dónde están los sacerdotes para celebrar la misa?" That was the best Spanish I could do in that weird accent. Yes, I did use that weird accent. And they said, "Oh, it's like around the corner," and I was totally in the wrong area. So then my conscience was like, "You got to go back. You can't just leave these priests. You drag them there to die, and now they are going to be stuck there, and they're going to die without celebrating the Mass." And so I said, "All right, I'll do it. Lord, here I go." So I ran back as fast as I could around the block. I kind of went head first, speared my way through this crowd. But I'm telling you, the closer you got to the fence where you could kind of, maybe if you could speak to a volunteer there, you could get in somehow. Man, the closer you got, the worse it was. People were dropping. They were fainting. The people were having to be carried over on the top and handed over to go to the ambulance. It was bad. I kept yelling out, "Father Paul, Father Paul, Father Paul." And they were like, it was torture. It was really torture. I'm not kidding. And he didn't hear me. And he just looked like, Father Paul looked like he was about to lose his lunch if he hadn't already lost his lunch. Father Carlos was a little farther ahead. And I kept trying to get through and fighting to get through. And one poor girl told me, and I don't know why I responded the way I did, but she said, we're going to be on the news tonight. We're all going to be victims of this terrible situation. And I looked at her very seriously and I said, "I don't know why, but this is all God's will. I don't know why, but trust me, this is God's will." And I don't know why that I said that, because I was really like, "God, where are you? You want me to be bold and this is what's going to happen? I'm going to die in this crowd," right? And then by the time I finally reached Father Paul, they were already lifting him up to put him over the fence. And I got to him and I said, "Father Paul, we're in the wrong area. We have to go all the way in this side." And he's like, "Oh, don't worry. This guy said he's going to walk me over there," one of the volunteers. So they had made it over the fence. He's like, "I'm so sorry. I can't bring you with me." And I was like, "It's okay, Father. I just wanted to make sure you're all right, because I don't want to be responsible for you dying," right? And then, so they're gone. They're walking away in this very, very calmly, because now they're in this wide open space. And I'm there thinking, why can't I go with them? Obviously, I can't go with them because I'm not a priest and I can't come celebrate. But I am wearing a red badge. Why can't I just, you know, maybe I'll try and climb the fence and they won't say anything. So I get to the fence. I give the guy my camera and my monopod that I have with me. And he takes it and they lift me up over the fence. And I'm thinking, wow, that was too easy, you know? And so I'm walking. I'm like, where do I go now? I'm here in this big empty area between the crowds. Where do I go? So I just decided to walk in the way that the priests were going. Well, before I know it, I barely get 2 minutes walking that direction when a security guard with a machine gun comes to me and he says, "Hey, who do you think you are? You're not supposed to be over here. You need to go over there right now." And so I was like, oh, okay. And so I'm walking, you know, just walking in this direction over there, you know, I don't know. And then within one more minute, he's back on me again. He grabs my arm. Hey. Now he's pointing up, like, get up there, like into these bleachers. And I'm saying, huh? Bleachers? And I said, okay. And then I get to the guard there at the bleachers, and I just kind of pointed at the other guard, and I said, and that guy kind of was like, the guard was pointing back for me to go in the bleachers, and they looked at my pass, and he said, oh, prensa, and like, prensa means, I think it means press, and so my pass, which nobody had told me what I could do with it, in fact, in line, I even remember kind of getting irritated and saying, why are we waiting in line for this pass anyways? What privileges does it give us? There's 4,000 people here. Are they all going to give us the same privileges? What kind of privileges could they possibly have? Well, apparently, they don't have very many privileges, but the one privilege they did have, which nobody knew, was that you were able to get into the press bleachers for the opening mass, because there wouldn't be that many press agents, real press, like, you know, real media agents there, because it was the opening mass and it was just the bishop of the diocese, and so not that many international press people wanted to be there. And so I get into these bleachers. All of a sudden, I was at a situation where I thought I was dying, and now I'm in the bleachers, and now somebody's bringing me a bottle of water, and I'm thinking, wow, this is really great. This is great. I was about to die, now I have water too. Wow, God, you're so good. And then I'm looking in the bleachers, I'm thinking, man, there's so few people here. There's so many people in line for their press pass, and who do I see? I see my English friends from the Diocese of Westminster. I see Kevin and Isabella and their friends that are there. And they say, wow, what are you doing here? I said, wow, this, and I told them my story, and they had a similar story, believe it or not. So I'm just sitting there soaking it all in before the Mass, and I'm praising God, and I decided to take a couple pictures. I'm going click, click of the different crowds. And as I'm looking through my viewfinder, and I hit the click button, all of a sudden, and I'm praising God at the same time, I'm like, praise you, Lord. And I see this lion in my viewfinder. And right as I said in my mind, praise God, this is amazing. I see this lion. And then it strikes me like right in the soul, and I just kind of start to get a little teary-eyed, because it's like, God, you're amazing. You really did plan this. It was your will that I fought through that crowd. Wow, you're great. And then after the Mass, I'm still kind of like in this euphoric mode, and I think to myself, it's starting to get dark. I think to myself, wait a second. I have no idea how I'm going to get home. I don't even know the name of the street that my hotel is on. I don't know where I'm at exactly. What am I going to do? I haven't eaten anything all day. I'm feeling kind of faint and dizzy. I've just been in this like flaming hot heat, fighting my way through crowds. I've been walking all over town all day. And I know that it's only one day without eating, but man, I was low on sleep. So I was like, oh, man, this is not good. But then what do you know? It's time for us to leave the bleachers. And what do you know? They brought us a bus. Can you believe that? They brought us a bus. And I said, oh, donde va l'autobus? Ah, oficina de prensa. Oh, it's going to the press office. I know how to get home from the press office. That's the one place I know how to get. And so they're walking with us on the bus, and the armed guards are being, oh, come on, hurry up, because we got to get to this bus before the crowds crush us, because they're about to unleash the masses, right? And then when we're walking out, I want to remember one of the purposes that I went was also to get video with bishops, talking to them about the Eucharist, about the Mass, about celebrating the Mass ad orientem, about the reform of Pope Benedict XVI, and encouraging these activities for the youth. And what happens? I see a bishop. I don't have time to talk to any of them. The one bishop I see recognizes me. He used to be the president of my university. And he says, Gabe, praise God. And I look at him and say, hey, Archbishop Miller, praise God. And I punch him on the shoulder and I say, wow, because I thought, I've seen this bishop in the United States. I've seen this bishop in Italy, because when I went to Italy, I visited him when he was working in the Vatican. And then now I'm seeing him in Spain. Praise God, this is amazing, right? But then I don't have time to talk, so I'm going very fast. I was like, God, you're amazing. And then my stomach starts to chime in. Yes, but you are so, so hungry. What are you going to do? Because I don't know how to use these vouchers. I don't know anything about the eating system at this point, because I wasn't really paying attention. Or I don't know. I don't know how, but I missed how to eat in World Youth Day. And so I hadn't eaten anything, and I was very hungry. And right as I'm thinking this, in my mind, it's a miracle. In my mind, these little girls are angels. Three little blonde girls. I don't know if they're angels. Maybe they have parents. But three little blonde girls, 5, 6, 7 years old. That's what I would say if I was guessing their ages. They could not have been older than 6 or 7 years old. Three little blonde girls come out of a dark, seriously dark, scary-looking alley by themselves, carrying a large basket of bread. And they come up to me specifically and said, would you like some free street bread? And I said, huh? free street bread. Here, take one, sir. It's free. And I said, and it was like a huge baguette. And I was just looking at the girls, and I was like, God bless you, girls. God bless you. Thank you so, so much. And then they didn't offer any to anybody else. And all the Spanish reporters are like looking at me like, And I was just like, get in bun. Like, do you want bread? And so then I get to the bus, and I take this picture because it's like, this day has been ridiculous. First, a lion tells me to be a lion and to be bold and courageous and to have faith and to put myself out there and to make things happen and to really set the world on fire, spiritually speaking. And then I go to the press office and they give me a pass. And then I go and I run into this group who goes with me to the World Youth Day activity. And I tell the priest that I will get them to come celebrate. I drag them through a crowd that I think which we're going to die in. When we get over this deadly crowd, I am now sitting in the bleachers drinking bottles of water far, far away from my group, far, far away from anybody who's involved with Goodness Reigns, even the guy who's supposed to be there assisting me. He was in, I don't know where he was at. And here I am. Now I don't know how I'm going to get home. Now I have a bus to get home. Then I'm starving, and three little blonde girls come out of the darkness to give me a loaf of bread and then disappear again back into their dark alley. And now I'm sitting on a bus that's taking me to the one place that I know how to get home from. That is amazing. That is day one of World Youth Day.